Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that app anywhere you get favorite apps, your Apple Play Store, your Apple App Store, your Google Play Store. Look for the Odyssey app, the big A, orange A. You download it, you search for WILK News Radio, you favorite it, and that's it. You got us. You can listen to us anywhere. Real compatible with your car's CarPlay. It works pretty good anywhere and everywhere. Crystal clear digital sound. So make sure you download that. You also could do the rewind feature. Go back, look at the chapters, and catch our podcast, because every minute of the show here is turned into podcasts on anywhere you get your favorite podcast: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, WILKNewsRadio.com, and everywhere you want to hear us. Or just search. That's what the internet's for, right? Beautiful things. You know, it's interesting because we have Lackawanna County and Luzerne County like playing hold my beer to see, you know, you get a let's buy a train station we got rid of because it was a headache back, and let's sue ourselves. But then in the past hour or so, 2 hours, I guess Lackawanna County, you know, doesn't like that Luzerne County was getting a little of that negative attention, so they jumped in and said, here, hold my keg. Lots going on in Lackawanna County, and I guess we'll start off with that. And then you have this Dallas school district, former student who went to an event and made up a school shooting. This individual should be on everyone's radar at this point because, you know, outside of the attention-seeking and whatever the motive was there, making up such a story as losing your brother and your best friend is just abhorrent. And the fact that the organizations that gave this a platform did not do proper vetting or even a minimal vetting when they – it's interesting because this, you know, Moms Demand, and they lump in anything and everything that could possibly be a school shooting as a school shooting. They take gang shootings from 3 blocks away from a school, but if it was in that 3-block radius, it's considered a school shooting. Or shootings that are unrelated to the school, just near a school, are school shootings. And they pad their numbers tremendously. And I guess they didn't even look at this for their database, which is, like I said, very exaggerated to begin with. Listen, not that they don't have a point to some of what they're fighting for, but pretty misguided in how they're going about that, especially when you start to inflate or, in this case, make up stories. And again, school shootings are tragic enough to the point where you have to make one up. This individual, this former Dallas school district student, definitely needs some help and should be given whatever counseling or therapy he needs to make up such a story and monitored. I mean, what's in going through this guy's head that he would make up such a thing? But the mere fact that the adults in the room did not do a proper vetting here and even just a little bit say, hey, we have no such information or story on this. So you want to tell us a little more about it before we give you a platform, a stage, a microphone, and a camera? So it's just I think this is going to continue to grow as a story. It just came out today. But again, back to Lackawanna County here. A few things. Standard & Poor has lowered Lackawanna County's bond rating again by one notch, citing concerns that cash flow pressures and budget strain are likely to continue despite nearly 33% 2025 tax hike that the county Democratic Majority Commissioners approved last year. Now, there was not a lot, not all negative. This probably could have been much worse in the reduction. This is the third such bond reduction since September of 2023, and we're now at a BBB- rating. They did say, you know, stability also lies in the added support the county is receiving through continued engagement with consultants, which likely will help improve financial monitoring and place focus on areas that need operational improvement. But again, not a good move, not a good story for the residents of Lackawanna County with their bond rating being reduced yet again, 3 times since September of 2023. You also have former Commissioner Debbie Dominick is institute a lawsuit against Lackawanna County that alleges sex-based discrimination and retaliation. Former Lackawanna County Commissioner Debbie Dominick accuses the county in the Court of Common Pleas of sex discrimination related to her continued classification as a 1099 contractor without benefits in her current position with the county court. Listen, you get what you deserve, Lackawanna County and the courts, for taking this headache on yourself. When this position was hired, you know, I talked about it on the air then. So, you know, one of these things is you kind of set yourself up for this. Now, basically what she's stating is that there is a male counterpart that does the same job as her that is not listed as a 1099 employee, does get benefits, and makes more money. So that'll have to work itself out in court. This just came to light at 1 o'clock today that this was being instituted. I'm just looking at the story now. It says officials said that the time at the job was $1,500 a month, noting Commissioner Bill Gaughan and Chris Chermick and then Commissioner Matt McGloin had nothing to do with Dominick's appointment. This came from the courts. But since the courts fall under the county, the Lackawanna County and the Court of Common Pleas are both being sued for discrimination by former Commissioner Debbie Dominick, basically saying that she's a 1099 employee, she's not entitled to benefits, and that a male counterpart that does her same job is classified as a regular employee, does get benefits, and makes more money. So let that work its way through the court. And again, if the Court of Common Pleas, you know, thought they were doing anyone a favor back when this hire was made, hope you're happy. And let it work its way through the courts. If she has a valid complaint, let the courts decide that and move forward. But it's interesting where a lot of people will probably say, I told you so. But here we are. And the story that I originally was going to start with today is the Lackawanna County fills auxiliary boards for the reassessment appeals. They are expecting now. It's interesting because that number went up. The person in charge of the reassessments for the county originally said they're expecting 7,000 appeals to take place. That number is now bumped up to 10,000, they're expecting, possibly more. I think that's going to be more. I think we are definitely going to best the 10,000 mark once people start getting actual numbers. But there are there was a listing in today's Times Tribune to where they made a bunch of appointments. Wayne Evans of Scranton, who briefly served as Scranton mayor following Mayor Bill Cartwright's arrest. He's also a consultant to 21st Century Appraisals in Luzerne County. Most recently, reassessment, the former chairman of the Scranton City Council Finance Committee, Robert J. Foley, Sr. of Troop. He was the operator of Foley Real Estate Agency, served as the county's director of assessment from 1998 to 2022. You have two former FBI agents. One of them, or both of them, are an accountant. One of them is an accountant, certified public accountant, and the other one is experience in real estate management. You have individuals from Greenfield Township, John Martinez, is a former president and CEO of L.A. Bank, former chairman of the board of PennStar Bank, and former chairman of the board of L.A. Mortgage Services. You also have Kelly Saar, Scranton, certified Pennsylvania evaluator. She also worked several years at the county assessor's office. Michelle Williams of Springbrook Township, self-employed state-certified residential appraiser. Individual from Dunmore, Mr. McDonald, the former Dunmore School District superintendent. Mark Schultz of Scranton, Scranton Fire Department captain who holds a mechanical engineering degree from Drexel University. Ann Kennedy of Scott Township, an arts educator at the Scranton School District. She worked in real estate for nearly two decades. Consumer Credit Counseling in Northeast Pennsylvania. Karen Romensky, Dixon City, an agent for the Christian Saunders Real Estate who worked for the field since 2004. And Donald Hart of Covington Township, he's a member of the County Assessment Appeals Board for 12 years and a retired representative for the Bricklayers Union. So there's some appointments that have been made. There is a salary that goes with those appointments for the time that they'll be on this board. And again, the numbers have gone up from 7,000 estimated appeals to now I've seen the number of 10,000 thrown out there. So interesting that number keeps increasing. And I think we'll be closer to 15,000, possibly north of that when the time comes again, when people start getting the reality of numbers in front of them, which we have not been given. Other counties who are going through the same process have been given those estimates. We have not. Lackawanna County is doing things different than two counties in similar positions where we're giving a lot less information, some would say. So it's interesting that that is the case. So a lot going on. And we're going to talk about, Luzerne County and they're taking an asset back that they got rid of and thought they dumped off its rolls back again. And it's going to be interesting to see what the process there is when they're – it turns out – we talked about it yesterday. They're suing themselves. Luzerne County is actually suing a board that they appoint. Interesting, they could not just sit down and work it out in a room like adults without lawsuits being involved when, in fact, it's all the taxpayers paying for the shindig. Again, back to elect better people. And you get the representation that you tolerate. Thankfully, one county is not the monopoly on that in our area. We seem to shift that around pretty well between the two counties, the sister counties here, where, if one's in the news a lot, the other one's like, hey, hold my beer. We need the spotlight a little bit here. It's 3:21 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard, across from the Olive Garden. They're making it easier than ever to feel your best. Listen, I don't go anywhere without my Good Feet art supports in my shoes. Changing the shoes out, you just pop the insoles out, put them in another pair of shoes. It's this time of year, I'm wearing my Hey Dude shoes, I'm wearing my Brooks sneakers, I'm wearing dress shoes. I take them out, pop them in. If I forget, which I did a couple weeks ago, you know about it. And your body lets you know real quick that you don't want to do that because living with pain wears on you to your core. So you're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got a text message in. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Got a text message in saying the fake news story of the Dallas school shooting will be repeatedly told until the lie becomes the truth. That's true, because a lot of news agencies ran with this story, and even though it's been widely debunked as being totally false and made up, those little corrections don't necessarily correct the fact. So enough people read it, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, this truly happened, because the powers that be really, unfortunately, wanted it to be true, a true story. That's why they had the person there and didn't do their due diligence to check the story before putting them on stage. And it's, like I said, it's pretty abhorrent making this thing up. We have these situations where there's enough that are true to where you don't have to exaggerate the numbers or make them up. And when you do, you kind of take away from your argument. When you're exaggerating, making things up, and adding a lot of falsehoods, it just does not do your cause any justice. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick on this Dallas school Fox shooting.
Well, hello, Rob. So here's the thing that's shocking about it, but maybe not unexpected. This, as you know, was first covered on Sue Henry's show, and I called in her show, but I was talking about something else. There's the first aspect of this, that these news media outlets, a TV reporter, as well as a newspaper, repeated this as though it were fact, and a simple Google search would have disproved it. 10 seconds of research on an AI Google search would have just blown this out of the water before they came out and told outright lies. It's really shocking and absurd, and why these organizations have no credibility except with people, as you said, who already want to believe this because they're already, you know, inclined to believe any story about, gun violence and crime for their own agenda. It's really patently absurd what has happened here.
It is, and like you said, it was quite simple on many levels before it even became a story. You know, before when they invited the person to come up on stage, you know, a simple search could have been done to. It's amazing that a cursory vetting wasn't done, especially when they have databases at their fingertips that not only do they inflate, but they also have the true numbers where they could have, within seconds, realized that this was not matching up.
Well, you know what? And this is just kind of tongue-in-cheek because, you know, I'm making a political comment, but honestly, this person's the perfect keynote speaker for the 2028 Democrat presidential candidate, whoever that might be, because this is like a match made in heaven, you know, the way that they all function now.
Quite honestly, I'm on the other side of the spectrum here. I'm thinking this young individual needs to be monitored and getting whatever help he needs to make something up. Who makes up that one of their family members and best friend were murdered simply for attention and simply for something that he had to have known would have been checked, would have been, you know, debunked, would have been looked at. So, you know, someone who makes up something like that, I would get them the help that they desperately need.
Well, sure, and I understand, and I agree with that. You know, that is definitely the more, you know, correct answer than the one I gave. That's not going to happen unless he has somebody in his life who cares about him, though. I mean, that's what that comes down to.
Well, there's enough people in the world looking at him now. Maybe it takes someone that doesn't care about him point him in the right direction of an evaluation.
Yeah, maybe, but... All right. Well, thank you, Rob, for having me on, and you have a good day.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for checking in. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:35, 57 degrees. 50. Do they know what the date is? Come on. We're past Memorial Day weekend. The unofficial start of summer's here. None of this 57-degree stuff. So Harvard business professor Francesca Gino was stripped of tenure and fired for fabricating data on multiple studies focused on, get this, dishonesty. Yep, you can't make this stuff up. Harvard business professor Francesca Gino was stripped of tenure and fired for fabricating data on multiple studies focused on dishonesty. Karma at its best there. I saw that the Trump administration was looking to take some of the funding that goes to Harvard and instead reallocating that for trade schools. And I am 100% behind that. I think that's a great idea. I think this world needs way more plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and mechanics than they do entitled pricks. So it's as simple as that. I think the money should go to trade schools. Take it away from these Ivy League schools. Let them fend for themselves. Let them pay for their own education. Let's get the trades booming. And speaking about that, U.S. consumer confidence rebounds after five straight months of declines amid tariff anxiety. Again, tariff anxiety brought to you mostly by the media. Yes, thank you very much. Democrats and the media were real tight on raising the tariff warning flag, just like it was veterans benefits, and now it's Medicaid. And they did a pretty good job on tariffs. And then most people were like, I'm not really seeing a difference at all on tariffs or anything like that. So, the consumer confidence is up. It's interesting because inflation in June of 2022 was 9.1%. Today, it's 2.3%. Gallon of gas on June of 2022 was $5.03. Now that's the national average. June of 2022 was $5.03. Today it's the national average is $3.17. So, and consumer confidence, the best it's been in five straight months because people are realizing that what they're being told over and over and over and over again isn't really what's happening out there. Excuse me while I take a drink of water here. It's all made up. It's not coming to fruition. It's scare tactics. And if you have become good, and you should. Listen, we all lived through the last election. We're here now. You should be able to do your own basic research to kind of sift through this and say, really, this is not something I need to worry about. And we talked about it often. Unless you were buying, you know, specific things that were really affected by tariffs, it wasn't going to affect you. It wasn't going to affect me on an everyday basis. Matter of fact, it brought better car deals, if you want to be honest, right? And let those let the system work. Let the system work, because that's why it's there. We saw the same thing in 2017, very much of the same tariffs. Not the scope, but the very much of the same tariffs were instituted in 2017. And there were a lot of positive results from it. But, you know, they don't want to talk about that, because while you're in disarray as a Democratic Party, no leader, no message, no pretty much anything at this point except negativity and scare tactics, you know, why would you want the average American to feel good about themselves, about their status, about their nation? A little closer to home, something to feel good about if you're looking to cool off and you do not have a pool of your own. Lackawanna State Park Pool Complex is open for the summer. Now, they're saying it's fully staffed and will be ready. It has a new plaster base and it'll be better than ever. I believe we took our kids there when they were younger, much younger. Now, we have our own pool at home. But we go to the lake that's right there quite often to kayak. And when the kids were young, they were at the pool once or twice. But it's a beautiful park, beautiful lake there. I believe they do have boat rentals there as well. But we bring our kayaks there quite often and kayak around the lake there. It's real serene and pretty, especially in the early season and late season when it's a little cooler. It does get hot out there in a kayak. But it's good. Some jobs for our local residents. And listen, if you are looking your child to have a great part-time job, get them certified as a lifeguard. They are in desperate need. Between the YMCAs, between the municipal pools, between the private communities with pools that hire dozens upon dozens of lifeguards, there is an opportunity there to have a great skill set. Not only the medical training that goes along with it, but the skill set of being a lifeguard. All my kids were lifeguards from the age of 15 or whenever they could get certified till they went away to college. And even, well, they couldn't work when they were in the military academy. But other than that, it worked up right up to the point they left. So I highly recommend that, a great skill set. Something else, if you're in your community and your child wants to get involved in something, keep them out of trouble, keep them off the streets, keep them out of the video games, get them to your local fire department. Each fire department, EMS corps that has part of the fire department, usually has a junior program. And once they're 16, they can become certified EMTs. And another great skill set that pays pretty well for a part-time job and something they can do all through college, anywhere they go off to college, especially now with the national certification. So I highly recommend those things. It is 3:41 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:45. So Luzerne County can't leave you out of the mix today. You approved $615,000 purchase of a historic former train station in downtown Wilkesboro and litigation over outstanding debt from a rail line purchase. So you're playing Monopoly all in one down in Luzerne County, huh? You're buying a railroad and the train station. County Council voted yesterday 10-1 to buy the former train station and 10-1 to initiate litigation against the County Redevelopment Authority. Now, their own County Redevelopment Authority that they appoint, they've approved 10-1 litigation that's going to cost you, the taxpayer, money on both sides. You are going to be paying for lawyers on both sides of this. Yes, because they can't sit down like big boys and girls and figure it out for the taxpayer, you know, in the best interest. Oh. They're considering the County Redevelopment Authority being a delinquent creditor. The lawsuit will be filed within a few weeks, so maybe there's time that the adults in the room could come up. And if you are a taxpayer in Luzerne County, maybe you should reach out to these people and say, hey, how about you figure this out without costing us any more money than the taxes we are already paying for additional lawyers, or you won't be sitting there much longer. How about that? How about that? The authority owes roughly $3.3 million to the county for funds provided to buy rail lines, records show. Most of the county funding was provided in 2001. So all of a sudden, in almost 30 years, what? 24 years? They realize that they need their $3.3 million. And again, it's the County Redevelopment Authority appointed by the county that loaned the County Redevelopment Authority money, I guess. Council appoints the five members of the Redevelopment Authority, which operates independently from the county, the Luzerne County Rail Corporation, a nonprofit organization, and the authority's rail subsidiary owns 55 miles of rail lines that was planning to seek proposals this month for a new rail operator contract. The current contract, Luzerne and Susquehanna line for commercial freight since acquiring the Luzerne and Susquehanna Railway Company in 2020. When discussing the former train station in Wilkes-Barre, Council Vice Chairman Brian Thornton talked about making Wilkes-Barre a tourist destination similar to Jim Thorpe in Carbon County. Listen, I don't know how to tell both Luzerne and Lackawanna County these things, because Lackawanna County and their tourist industry as far as where they put their building and everything else. If you run better government, they will come. Plain and simple. It's easy as that. If you run a solid, effective, cost-effective, pleasant environment, safe environment for your residents, tourists will come. Residents will brag about it to their friends, family. The media will brag about it in public. That is open to the World Wide Web now. Form better government. Run your county without suing each other. And tourists will most likely want to be there, right? It's as simple as that. Now, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a PR person that promotes the things that you need out there, but you do not need a building to do this. You do not need a train station or anything else to say, hey, look at us. Come visit the train station. Listen, you keep screwing with the taxpayers of Luzerne County, they're going to take you to the train station. My Yellowstone fans know exactly what I'm talking about. Run better government and people will come. Tourists will want to be there. Businesses will want to be there, which in turn brings tourism, right? Nice restaurants, nice places to stay, hotels, nice events. All starts with better government. All starts with a safe place to be. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks, they could figure it out without suing themselves. It's crazy. What's going on here, huh? It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Coming up on 3:54, 57 degrees on this Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. Well, this next story, Jake got a kick out of it because I posted it on social media, where the highly infectious new COVID strain from China that led to a massive spike in hospitalizations has spread to the U.S., including New York City. Now, I can't say what I posted in regards to that on the air because it just wouldn't be proper. But basically, it was F no, for the most part. Listen, you're not doing it again. It's not happening. And it's amazing how the media is just starting to catch on to this. This has actually been around since about early February, where it started to spike, this new strain. And there's been dozens of strains since the COVID lockdowns. And listen, we're not doing this again. So save your panic, save your ink or your screen time about putting it out there. How about we stop letting people from China into the U.S. that are sick? And this is where a lot of the monitoring is going on. They're catching these people at the airports coming in, but there's no preventing. So there. It's called the new NB181 variant. It was first detected in the United States in late February. And it's starting to spike now. And by spike, I believe, you know, they're starting to get more cases that have been detected in California, Washington State, Virginia, and New York City. There's additional cases reported in Ohio, Rhode Island, and Hawaii. The CDC says that there are too few cases in the U.S. to be properly tracked in the agency's variant estimates, but experts are warning that the virus's run in China shows it spread more quickly than other dominant strains of the respiratory infection. It's amazing how every COVID variant that comes out is worse than the last. This one's worse than the last. And then it really turns out not to be. It's interesting, too, that if you got the flu shot, how many of you got the flu shot? I did not. I usually do, but because of COVID, you know, it's kind of turned me off to the whole thing. I've been delaying the shingles vaccine because of the nonsense with COVID. And that's part of something, you know, and I'll come around. I'll end up getting the shingles vaccine. I guess I have to, you know, it's a series of shots. I got to get two shots. You know, my wife got them. You know, they talked her into it, but every time I go, they're like, do you want it? I'm like, no, I don't want anything. And I didn't get the flu vaccine this year either. Well, the flu vaccine for the 2025 season has a negative 27% efficacy, which means that if you got the flu vaccine, this most recent flu vaccine, which a new one should be coming out in the next couple of months, you have a 27% chance, greater chance of getting the flu. That's what that means. So they're really not having a good track record with this, especially after COVID. And you have a lot of pissed off people, thanks to COVID, that have changed their view on a lot of things. Now, listen, I do not recommend you change the vaccine schedules on your newborns. You be guided by your doctor. You do what you need to do as far as your family goes. Do your research, but yes, get the basic vaccines that we all, you know, have gotten at children. I understand there's more of them now, but you know, that's between you and your doctor. I'm not talking about those things. And the flu vaccine. Yeah, listen, I know I'm taking the risk of getting the flu. I don't like to get the flu. We always got the flu vaccines in my house because my daughter was a type 1 diabetic, had a chronic disease that we, you know, tried to prevent any illnesses from coming into the house. Which is the only reason after getting COVID that we got the COVID vaccine. And I regret that to this day dramatically. My sense of smell is still all screwed up because of COVID. And now they're trying to put out, well, there's a new variant coming from China. Well, how about we shut down travel from China then? If that's what you're so afraid of, if you're going to post it and saying there's a new, you know, variant that spreads more quickly. And it appears that this is, again, 65 and older seem to be the most vulnerable, both in China and what they expect here. So if you are of elderly age, if you are, you know, have chronic illnesses, take whatever precaution you need to take. But listen, it's plain and simple. We're not doing this again. Don't even bother wasting the ink putting it out there like you think you're going to do something again. I think if the government, and I don't think this administration would ever do it, but I think if the government at all tried to do this again to us, you would have major problems across America. Major problems. And I would expect them. Because after what was done to us the first time with the lies and the misinformation and simply stuff they made up like the 6-foot rule, you know, these cloth masks all of a sudden are going to do something. Even these N95 masks, if you read the boxes, do not protect you against certain things. Now, do they give you a level of protection about from, you know, everyday stuff that's probably out there? Yeah, maybe. But come on now. You're not doing it again. So it's pretty much what I said when I put it out there, and it was kind of the consensus for everybody who responded to me. And listen, if you have some sort of illness, if you have some sort of disease, if you are immunocompromised, you do what you need to do. But do it for you. Don't expect anyone else to do it. If you need to stay away from people, then that's your job to stay away from people. I don't know what to tell you. But it's interesting that it's coming from China again. But are we even allowed to? Well, we weren't allowed to say that for the longest time. But I guess now we can say it again because it's the truth. It came. It was the China virus. Oh, here we go. Set me off already. It's only Wednesday. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.